being here this evening and for accepting the invitation of the church to come and be with us tonight. It's really been a great journey for me to know just how much that the Lord can still put it upon your heart to be used of Him. And I'll let you know this is about 6 months ago I was in some heavy-duty prayer asking God, what is it you want me to do? And it was about the time that I got a call from my son, and he asked me this question. He said, Dad, if you're called to a church to pastor again, will you go? And I went, well, I said, if a church wants me to come pastor, I would consider it. But I said, I don't see that happening, and we pretty much left it at that. Well, the Lord's got a strange sense of humor. And I say that very carefully because, you see, I said once before I would never come to the Ohio Valley to preach and pastor. Once again, God has a strange sense of humor. Many years ago, I said I would never go to Kentucky to pastor. And 13 and a half years later, after pastoring there for that amount of time, I realized that whatever God wants, He's going to see to it, and it doesn't matter what I want. And I'm very much humbled at the experience that we have here and the opportunity. I am humbled by the zeal of the membership. And I don't just say that because they're here. There is a real zeal that exists. And, you know, if the Lord can take 12 and turn the world upside down, imagine a church that really wants to get busy for the things of God, what can happen here? And that's what we want to see. And in fact, that's part of the message I want to give to you tonight. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. We'll read the entire chapter. Now, I do not expect you to stand while I read. In fact, I'll let you know this, is that I do enjoy my daily reading. And I'm one of those individuals that I can't just read. I need to have a little bit of extra attention getting. So every now and then I'll have Alexander Scorby and he'll read and I'll follow along with my New Testament as I go. But recently I was introduced to audio drama, and it's the King James Version, but it's different people reading through it, and it's kind of made it alive. It's a different facet, and I really enjoy that. And there's a little music playing in the background, or there could be some strife, you know, where you, believe me, the Bible's full of strife. You might as well just know that. And it's so, it's really enjoyable to do that as far as my studies go. But it was while I've been doing some of my readings and some of my studies that I came to this conclusion. I need to be busy for the Lord, and so should all believers. We should be ready to work. And literally, when we're talking about this, working for the Lord is something that has lost its flavor, if you will, in our society today. You know, we think that when a preacher has been brought on, or a pastor, that we have a gun for hire. Well, that's not the way it is. Really, if you want to see a church grow, it takes the entire body of that church to go forward. And it's interesting that there are many people that are in this community that they're already asking who is ready to go out and be used for the things of God. Last night, just as the services were beginning, I had a phone call that came in, and I went outside for a moment to take it, and there is a church in town, Baptist church in town, probably not exactly like we are, but they said that they have lost so many to the COVID. And they talked about how this deacon's lost, how this deacon, he passed away, the wife is now available, and you know, she's still hurting, and there was this pastor, and this deacon, and that pastor, and they said it's throughout all of Cerrito Canova. And she said, it's really devastating. And as I was listening to her, I said, you realize that we may not have that many can come. She said, whatever amount wants to come, let the women come. And I thought, wow, there's such a hunger for fellowship and such a need for that fellowship that people should be busy, you know, not only in this church, but everywhere. They should be busy saying, I want to be back together with God's people. I believe the number that we have here tonight is just a small microcosm of people that really want to be together, fellowshipping and worshiping with the Lord. Well, let's see if that's not true. In 2 Thessalonians, we're going to go down into chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And notice what is written here. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as with it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and unto the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received from us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example or ensample to you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we bear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not the word of this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to stand before the congregation, and I pray, Father, that you will give that which is needed as I preach this evening. Lord, you know the spirit, you know the flesh. And the flesh that I have, Lord, it quivers at the thought of standing before the congregation and preaching the word. But at the same time, I know, Father, that there is a need, especially in this time. And whether, Father, that I am fully prepared or not is neither here nor there. I trust you, Lord, to deliver through me the words that you would have spoken this evening, that the message might have power from on high and that it may go forward as you see fit. Now bless, Lord, you know that there are so many things that have weighed heavily upon my heart from this day. And Lord, I pray that you would take those burdens away so that I might be able to have that freedom to preach the word. And above all, Lord, let there be a blessing to all that are here, and bless the fellowship that follows thereafter, that we might rejoice together with laughing and singing in praise. For it's in Christ we pray. Amen. I want to bring to your attention, and I forget to make mention of this today, I'd like to ask you that you would remember the Raymond Kenny family. Ray is my father-in-law, and he passed away today at 11:30, I think it was. He had been battling cancer, and I have a son that they had been trying so diligently to see if he would call, and we were doing everything we could to make the connection so that the call would go through, and praise God, everything worked to order. So not only did all my kids get to wish him, you know, their last goodbyes, because I have kids scattered all over the country, but many of the grandchildren also got to do so. And pray for Jeremy, my son also. He's in Ocala, Florida, and currently his mother-in-law, she also passed away from cancer. And so the family is dealing with that right now. So it's a really difficult time. And I don't know how many of you all knew Brother Wendell Furlong, but his son, Shane, also passed away this week. And so he was Jeremy's age, and so Jeremy's dealing with those three issues. And he said, "Dad, I'm not doing well." I said, "Well, you know, you call me, and I'll call you," and try to be an encouragement to him. With that in mind, there's no excuse ever for us not to spend time around God's Word and to really think about how much we should be expressing that wherever we go. Now, there's no doubt that today this message is going to be the catalyst where we are going to enter into the Great Commission. And I was thinking about this, especially as I was considering what happens to many churches that grow idle. Now, I don't know about you, but I have oftentimes seen churches where idleness seems to take a hold, and before you know it, the church begins to quiver, and it begins to shake, and it begins to fall apart, or it begins to split, and so on and so forth. Now, I know that if you go all the way back to the Jerusalem church, that we see first growing in the book of Acts, we see that it was scattered, but that was because of persecution, and that's a completely different story. What I'm speaking of is idle hands can cause the greatest effect in a church. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Idle hands can cause the greatest effect in a church. I had a lady one time come to me when I was pastoring in California. She said, you know, Brother Prater, she said, I'm just going to tell you, I don't think anybody loves me anymore. She said, nobody comes and visits me, and nobody does this, and nobody does that. And she goes, so I'm going to go look for a church where all that happens. And I said, well, I've got a question for you. She said, what's that? I said, when was the last time you were in church? About 6 months. And I said, well, where do you live? Because she had moved. And she goes, well, don't you have my address? I said, obviously I don't, or I wouldn't have asked you for your address. She was upset at the church because she had moved away, not told anybody where she moved to, and hadn't been in attendance for about 6 months, and then suddenly we're at fault because you don't love me. Well, if you really loved me, you'd try to find me. Well, I got news for you, folks. I can literally go all over California. It's a pretty good-sized state, looking for someone and probably never find them. And the reality is that we need to understand that just because somebody says that my feelings are hurt isn't necessarily the responsibility of the church to babysit and to take care of somebody else. Now, when you look at this, did you notice that as we were reading in this particular passage that the admonishment of the apostle here is that those of you that have complained about us, we haven't taken anything from you. And I a lot of times think about this is that we as a church ought to be excited when we can help a missionary. It's great news that Brother Matt talked about the church is getting ready to be established. And think about all the hard work that came down to get that ready to go. And now the church ought to be in rejoicing form because they're getting ready to see a new congregation established. In this day and age which we live in, we see a dearth of churches being started. We are seeing a drought of preaching that is really needs to be gone forth in our community. We're seeing more and more people looking for something that they can't find. And let me just say this. I don't have time to worry about if a church has the right music program. I don't have time to worry about what every Tom, Dick, and Harry is preaching. I just know this. I need to take care of my corner acre. Okay? I need to be worried about what this church does. And you know, it's a humbling experience where this church says, we have sought the Lord and we want you to be our pastor. And if you're going to be our pastor, what are you going to do? Well, the first thing I'm going to do is get busy. And I'm asking this congregation, come on, let's get busy together. And you know, the reality is that when we think about that busyness, it is one to where we can go back and look at the scriptures and see the effects of murmuring and the effects of a church that's going forward for the Lord. And I'm going to use you as an example here by looking at the congregation that left out of Egypt. Now, I want you to remember this. And again, I've just finished reading the book of Exodus, and every time I read it's one of those amazing things that occurs to me. Not only is the tabernacle given to them, how that all the elements, including the priest outfit, has to be done in specific order, but I love it when they finally realize that with a mighty hand, God is going to bring the people out of the land of Egypt. And when they leave this land of Egypt, I mean, there's excitement in their voices. Can you see it? I mean, they're leaving. They're no longer going to have to stomp on straw and stomp on clay and, you know, make bricks so they have to build these treasured cities of Python and Ramesses. They're going to be busy going forward for the Lord, and they're busy going out in their excitement. I can almost see their smiles on their faces and everything until they get to the Red Sea. And if you ever go back and read the scripture, you find that where God had delivered them, it was between a rock and a hard place. And the only thing they could do was go forward and couldn't go back. And that is the biggest issue that I see with so many of our churches today. Everybody wants to go back.
going to have one tomorrow.
Let's get started tomorrow. Let's be really excited about coming to preach.
Well, I got things I got to do.
You all go ahead and start without me. Well, when they got to the Red Sea, they couldn't go backwards because here comes Pharaoh and the army. And all they can do is go forward. Or they could go back, but there was the swords. There were the weapons. There was death waiting behind them. And by all intents and purposes, there was death before them. Now the question is, were they going to wait upon the Lord? After that, what do we find? They also complained because when Moses went up to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh said, "Well, sounds like your people are idle. So we're not even going to let them gather straw. They let them go out and gather for themselves. We let them find the stubble, whatever they can make the bricks with." People complained about that, did they not? And then there was also the complaint after they had gotten out of the, or past the Red Sea, into the wilderness. "Well, you brought us out here to die. There's no water. There's no bread. There's no meat. I guess we're just going to die. All the preaching used to be really good. And now you kind of dried up. I guess there's no more excitement. Brother Tom, there was a time your preaching just really set my fancy on fire, but, you know, those days are gone. What's changed? Has the man of God changed? Has this man stopped going to church, preparing, studying, getting everything ready to go? Or is it a change of heart, and instead of being busy for God, we're now in the land of idleness? In fact, let me just show this to you. And here is the prime example where that same group of the children of Israel were so busy for God, they didn't have time to be idle. Or the book of Exodus. You can hold your place here, but I don't know if he'll come back or not. We're going to go back to the book of Exodus, and let's go to chapter 25. All right? If you don't have your Bible in front of you, shame on you. By the way, if you have one of those electronic Bibles, you know, we call them at your cell phone, don't use it. And people say, "Well, why not use your cell phone?" Because I don't know if you're reading the Bible or playing a game. Except when you go, "Yeah!" Read the Bible, okay. So let's go down to chapter 25, or we'll start, matter of fact, I looked at the wrong verse. Let's go to 35. 35 and 25. Now watch what happens. God has already given Moses the tabernacle, and he's given them all the measurements, everything that needs to be brought together. And in chapter 35, we're going to go down to verse 25 and notice what it says. We'll go back to verse 24. "Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and of brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun both the blue and the scarlet, and the purple and of the scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." Now come on, think about that for a moment. If we had, I love what Larry Burkett said many years ago. You know, this church was getting ready to go into a building program, and Larry Burkett was invited to come preach for him, and he stood behind the pulpit, and he said, "You know, the Lord has all..." And went from amen to oh me. The reality is, folks, is that God had poured it upon these people's hearts to bring forth the offerings, to skill them. I'll tell you what, I don't understand the power and the abilities of weaving. I mean, when you take a look at all the work that had to be done to bring out all the fine threads and everything like that, to weave it, to make the garments the way that they did, to put everything in order, and these things looked great. They weren't what we call homespun. They were really great looking materials. There was all the gold. If you want to try something sometime, get your wife's earring and start. No, don't do that. But anyway, if you've got some old gold, try to form it into something then without melting it. And you'll find that it's a great task to try to form it with percussion, if you will, with instruments of hammers and little scribes and things like that. And yet, here you have Baziel. He is given the opportunity to demonstrate his abilities and putting it all together. And the entire time that they were putting together the tabernacle, there was no murmuring. Go back and read it. There was no murmuring. There was no complaining. In fact, there was... Come on, think about it. Do you realize that in the 3 years that the Lord walked upon the earth, there was really no time and no place for any of the apostles to complain? They couldn't complain. Why couldn't they complain? They were busy. Well, I got to go over here. All right, Lord, I'll follow you. I got to go there. Okay, Lord, I'll follow you. I got to go over here. Okay, Lord, I'll follow you. They were busy. Now, I will tell you, because of modern conveniences, we think that we've really gotten something. I mean, I am on Facebook. Hi, Facebook. Isn't that exciting? I'm now being broadcasted to the two or three people that'll watch. And I, you know, when you think about it, that ought to be good. I see someone comes up and says, Tom Ross is now, he's now live. Well, okay, let me see who else is on. I'm sorry, brother. But the reality is that little instrument is not the answer. Amen. Now, I will tell you, and I kind of laugh about this. You know, Satan thinks he's had the upper hand. Now, think about this for a moment. Satan has thought, well, now that I've created this COVID, all the churches are going to start falling apart. What he didn't realize is all the churches were getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier to be back together again. Really? And not only that, we learned that we could be valuable by using some of the technology that he was hoping would destroy us, by using the technology to do things that gives us a daily opportunity to reach out to the Lord, for the Lord. I remember this, is that I was really praying. I said, Lord, I really see a great answer for this church. And I went, if we did some small groups, our kind of Baptists having small groups. He said, well, where's that? Where's it written that you can have a bus? Where's it written that you can have a Sunday school? Here's what I say. If a church brings it into authority, then why not do it? And if I can reach some sick person that's in Milton, or if I can reach somebody across here or someone over there, and we can figure out a way to make this all happen. Matter of fact, we tried it one time. It was kind of fun. And I'm hoping we can do it again. Once I get my feet established on the ground, I want to do it. And once again, encourage others with it. But let me ask you, and again, I'm not trying to meddle, but I'm just trying to be honest. How do our churches grow right now? Well, let's see. I heard so-and-so over at that church is upset. Maybe we ought to go visit them. They can come to our church. Is that what you really want? You want somebody else who's got a problem elsewhere to come in and bring that problem with them? Oh, no! No. I don't want your problem. In fact, I think that when a person comes to this church saying, so what kind of work do you want to do for this church? What do you mean, what kind of work? Let me repeat myself. What kind of work do you want to do in this church? If all you want to do is come in and complain about it, I guarantee you if they go back and fix it, they won't want to come here to begin with. But I want to tell you that I have found the secret formula. It's in Scripture, the secret formula for how a church is supposed to be grown. I said this to someone, an aged preacher, and I said, I found the secret formula. He said, really? I said, man, I said, it's there. He said, really? Where is it? I said, I don't know if you can handle it. He said, well, tell it to me. I said, it's in Matthew. It's in chapter 28. And you got to begin. It's verse 16. And we flipped over there and goes, wait a minute, that's the Great Commission. Yes! How many of us realize that the secret for church growth is in Matthew chapter 28? Now, I want you to see this. Go ahead, everybody, go over there. Matthew chapter 28, and I want us to begin at verse 16. And as I was studying this, I had never seen this before. Now remember, that we are talking about the 11 that the Lord had called apart to meet with him. And as he is with these 11, and there's no one else, he's met with these 11, and he's going to give them this great charge. But I want you to read beginning of verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, Mombas, 500 there? Was there 120? It was just 11, right? And when they saw him, they were... How many of us have ever realized that of the 11... Did they doubt what they were about to hear? We're not told. They ate some fish and honeycomb. They saw. What scares me is that people are doubting in our churches the message the Lord has given. If we want revival, it's got to begin with a unity that is in us. We used to margin it. How many people got saved really was the measure of how great the revival was. I'll tell you what the greatest mark of a revival is, how many people are getting their lives on track for the Lord. I'm a sinner. I have committed sin. If you guys want to know all my sins, well, get in line, will you? Let me just say that I agree with John Newton. I'm a great sinner. And I have a great Savior. And I'm not him. If Jesus can forgive me, you can forgive me too. And if you can't, don't let the door hit you in the rear as you leave. Well, don't say that, Brother Prater. Somebody's probably going to get offended. Maybe we ought to be honest for a change. I bet you've wanted to say that a number of times, haven't you, Brother Matthew? It's recorded. You can say it now. It's so loud so everybody hears it. But the reality is that we ought to let our nays be nays and our yeas be yeas. Should they not be? And if we really want to see that, it ought to be an excitement in our voice that I want to serve the Lord. But watch this. The doubt does not stop the commission. Now watch this. Can the Lord bless this church and the churches all around us? Yes, he can. Even when there's doubt, even when there's doubt. Even when there's people that don't want to go, this church can be blessed. And here's the formula. Jesus spake and said to them, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, I had someone ask me one time, why was Jesus baptized? I said, well, that's a simple answer. I said, God gave the authority to John the Baptist to baptize. John baptized Jesus, therefore baptizing God, which allowed God to now give the authority to others. John chapter 4, what does it say? That others were baptizing, yet Jesus never baptized. That's good stuff, isn't it? Why don't we get excited about that? All authority, everything in order, everything with power. And then here comes the word, go ye therefore. You know what's interesting? The Lord didn't say how to go. He just said go. And the reality is there's so many people, and I'm going to preach this on Sunday, and if you all don't have a place to attend this coming Sunday, you're welcome to join with us. I'm on Facebook. But anyway, and I'm going to keep using that, brother. Anyway, but the reality is that when you take a look at the message, what does it say? Why? And here's the question that we want to ask this coming Sunday. What is it about you that would make what others want to come to this church? Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world. Sometimes we go with a track. Sometimes we just go knock. I'm going to tell you this. Most of you all knew my dad, Charles Raymond Prater. And Dad, and this was related to me, I can't remember if Dad told me who it was, but Dad was out washing his van one time, and this single Jehovah Witness came up to the door, and he said, "Can I ask you what you're thinking about?" And Dad said, "I'm thinking about going home to be with my Lord." And that young man said, "Really? Would you tell me more?" Now this young man came to proselyte Dad. And they sit down, remember the old glider and everything? They sit down on the porch, and Dad began to share with him Jesus Christ. And the last words of that young man was, "I was going to ask you to come to church with me, but I think I'll go to church with you." The evidence that we have, we don't have to browbeat. We just have to share what God has already done with us. Go! On their confession of faith, do we not? And so we're not going to administer the second part of that unless we go. Man, I've looked around Sarita, Canova. There's a lot of places here that need to hear the Word of God. To know that I'm available. You want to talk to me about the Lord? I've got some availability. You go down around Camden Park, you know, the place with the clown. Look all around there. What do you see? Houses. More people. There's that old song. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. People going everywhere, knowing who knows where. And in that catalyst of that song, it is people need the Lord. I've been all over this globe. And it never ceases to amaze me as I'm sitting in airports and I begin to ask the question, I wonder how many people know the Lord. Sometimes I'll be sitting you know, and getting ready to board the plane, and I'll be talking to someone on the phone, and we're talking about the Lord, and I've had ladies and gentlemen look at me and say, "So, are you a preacher?" "Well, why do you ask?" "Well, we heard you talking about the Lord. We're Christians too." I've actually had revival just about break out in terminals. At the gate. You know why? I didn't ask them what their faith was. I didn't ask them what their denomination was. We began to talk to each other about Jesus Christ. You know the first element, folks? Let's go into the world and let's tell others about Jesus Christ. Are you excited yet? Are you getting there? Are you getting there? You're getting revived, don't you? And the next thing you know, though, we baptize the believers, and then what do? We take and we teach them. Teach them. I remember years ago when Dad was saved, and I'm going to mention some names that some of you all might know, Chet Joseph. And I remember that when Dad and Chet would go somewhere, I would be in the back seat listening, and I learned so much just listening to them converse to each other. Do you realize young men and young women, they want to hear the Word of God come out of your lips. They want to know what you believe. Tell me, what was it like? What was it like when you had great revival services? What was it like when the preaching had power and voice and it had purpose? What was it like? Oh, I remember when we had all of the young people that were together. Johnny, Teresa, you remember? We were together and we were so excited because we got to enjoy the things of God. What happened in those days? We became idle. We became happy with our successes. You know what will kill a church? Stop doing what has been commanded to do and become idle. And let me show you the evidence of it. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, I think this is the greatest example. It was the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit was given. I like to say it was unleashed. He was unleashed upon the people. The miracle wasn't speaking in tongues. That's what people miss. The miracle wasn't speaking in tongues. It got their attention. And as the attention was made, then Peter said, I figured that one out. And as he preached the word of God, there were many. Jesus Christ is coming again, and it's going to be at any moment. And listen to people as they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Wouldn't it be exciting? Next time someone says to me, well, judge not lest you be judged. I said, tell me where that's found. And who was it written to? Do you realize that that verse wasn't written but to just the followers of Christ? That was the Beatitudes sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. And there was only the 12. If you think I'm wrong, go read it. There wasn't a great multitude. He was warning them, don't you be the judges. You be the bearers of the Word of God. Well, I don't know if they're going to get saved. You preach the Word of God and let God figure it out. I'm sorry that sounds Arminian. But look what happened after that. In verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there was added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if I said, Brother Randy, I'm afraid the electric bill is going to go up because we're going to have services. I have two or three people that want to come over and start hearing the Word of God, you know, on Monday mornings. Greg, we got a ladies group that wants to meet together on Tuesday mornings. And, you know, we need to make preparation for it. Wednesday. Wouldn't it be great? Wednesday night services began with some potluck or something like that. Like, I really need it. You see, when a church is active for the Lord, nothing is out of scope. Nothing is out of scope. And what's hurting us is we are looking at the narrowness of what we have. I really expect God to do great things for Grace Missionary Baptist Church. I really expect it. You say, well, why? Because you ain't seen nothing yet. And the best is yet to come. And until the Lord returns, we should be busy for Him. We should be busy for Him. Excited for Him. You agree? Let's be excited for the things of God. But look at the rest of it. And fear, reverence, the desire to know more of God, the fear that they were going to not do what God was wanting them to do. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Listen, folks, you want to talk about wonders and signs? Us being together tonight is a wonder. I was wondering today how many people were going to show up. You did my heart good. Every one of you that are here tonight, you've done my heart good. Wouldn't it be great if you'd go home and say, man, you missed a blessing. You missed a blessing. Brother Prater finally shut up. I'll leave it at that. And they believed and were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking from bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, not just the congregation, but the community at large. You realize the fire station is right over here. One of the police officers is here. And I'm going to go in and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. They're liable to, if I call you Greg and say, hey, you need to bring $50 and bail me out, you'll know something happened. But shouldn't we, instead of just having a special service, letting everybody know that we're going to honor them, let's go in and honor them by praying with them in their place. I got pulled over by a California policeman one time. I deserved it. And when he got done, he goes, is there anything else? I said, can I pray for you? And he said, what? He said, after me giving you a ticket, I said, I deserved it, didn't I? He goes, well, yeah. I said, I want to thank the Lord that he's keeping you safe. He tore up my ticket. Of course, I prayed, Lord, don't let any judgment come upon him for writing this ticket, but we'll leave that alone. No, I paid the ticket. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How did he add? Well, I hear Brother Tom Ross got a member over there that's really disgruntled. Tom, what's your number? No. There are souls that need to be added. Wouldn't it be great, Tom, if I said, hey, we're going to have a special service this coming Sunday. We're baptizing 11. You'd want to know what gimmick I was performing, wouldn't you? Let me tell you what, folks. We've had many youth camps. And, you know, preaching the Word of God to young people in youth camp and seeing them come to know the Lord is the best time ever. And at the end, I've seen 13, 14, 15 saved during the week of youth camp. And people say, why is it that it happens at youth camp and nowhere else? I said, because they've had 5 days of dedication to the Lord and nothing else. You want to see something good happen? Put away your cell phones for a week. God help me. That means no Facebook for a week. You want to see something good for a change? Open up the Bible. Call your family. Turn off the boob tube and tell your family, come on, we're going to read the Bible together. If we want to see things return with joy, let us follow the formula. Go ye therefore into all the world, teaching, baptizing, and then teaching the rest of the story. And the Lord will bless. I pray that he will add to this message as he sees fit. We're going to have one more song. Brother Randy, are you ready? And, you know, some people say, well, should we have an invitation? Let me just say this. Tonight, if you have a prayer need upon your heart or maybe a special need that you'd like for us to attend to, we as a church will not murmur, we will not gossip, but we will be praying for you. So whatever that need may be, may the Lord bless as we conclude in this song. Do you have that number there, brother? He's looking. All right, go ahead.